Okay, I'm going to start with a prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can, Lord, come to your word. Lord, quicken our mind and our heart that we may be able to hear it, be able to, Lord, receive it in our heart, Lord, and be empowered and transformed by it. We just thank you, for we know, Lord, that when, Lord, you minister to us, you always make a difference. And you bring us closer to you, and you help us to overcome our weaknesses and our needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we talked about, you know, how to experience God's love. You know, really, you know, we do by connecting with His love, and our love developed that way, so that we, you know, see Him working in our life through His faithfulness to His promises. It actually, what we are going to experience, you know, just thoughts, but actually we can see the intervention in our life. We can see the help in things we need help for, in time of need and situation. We see the protection that He works in us. And so, you know, we can understand Psalm 23 that says, you know, when it says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The idea is the opposite is also true, that if He's not our shepherd, then we are going to have want, many wants, because there is, you know, our flesh we have many things. No, I have it, thank you. Praise the Lord. So, okay, the relationship that we have with Him is a bilateral relationship, okay? It was initiated by God by sending Jesus, okay? We respond to that what He did by believing and obeying Him. And so by believing and obeying it, you know, are two different things, okay? There are two different steps that we take. Okay, believing is the things of accepting certain ideas, certain thoughts that we need to receive. And, you know, but just thoughts by themselves don't do very much. What that produces result is when you start applying it to our life and accepting and being, you know, able to do it, be able to obey in His direction, be able to take the steps, okay? So those are two decisions that are different. They are sequential. One before you believe, before you stand, and after you take action and you implement the things that you have learned that the Holy Spirit has shown to you. Okay, and that is, you know, there is an increasing that's going to take in place in us. Increasing in the commitment that you have. Before, you just commit to some idea that you agree. After, you actually commit actually physically to actually respond to that. Okay? And when you obey, something happens, as we have seen. God is going to bless you. Out of your obedience, you get the blessing, and that makes you even wanting more of Him, loving Him more. And there you go, you know what I explained before, you know, the fact that you start growing in a way of going up in the staircase of holiness. You get more and more separated from the world and more closer to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, this is summarized in a couple of verses that I want to just to refresh what we said last week. Repeat today. This is in Psalm 91. The few last verses says, you know, verse 14 says, because He has set His love upon me, therefore I will deliver Him. I will set Him on high, because He has known my name. See, these two things go together. Okay? This threat that you know, He is going to be lifting us up. They're going to be helping us in the situation we are in. Okay? And the reason is because we know the way His character, they know the way He is, they know His name. Okay? So, and loving Him produces a momentum in us. Okay? Produces, you know, a momentum toward separation, so toward holiness, so that we want more of that. Okay. And that momentum keeps us going as we experience more and more that relationship that we have with him. Okay. And then goes on to explain how that happens. The way that happens is verse 15, says Psalm 91, verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. See, the answer to the call, to the prayer that you had is critical and is important. It comes out of, you know, this relationship, love relationship we have with him in obedience. Okay. And I will be with him in trouble. So whenever we are in trouble, we know what we have to do. We can call on him because we trust him. And we are going to do that instead of trying to fix our problems ourselves, because sometimes we can't. There's too much to do for us and we don't know what to do, because we are the first one that we got ourselves in that place. So we had to need some help there. And that help comes from him because he is there. See, then goes on, said, you know, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Hallelujah. As we call upon him, he answers us, because of we have set our love upon him. That is the secret. That is the key to get anywhere. So, and that produces, you know, not just an instant single experience. This produces a, you know, a momentum, the result in a cumulative experience, a cumulative evidence. The evidence is the fact that it's just forever. It just keep growing. You know, the following verse 16 says, with long life I'll satisfy him. It's not just something quick. You know, he's just wanting us to have a long life. And, not stopping there, Lord, you know, and show him my salvation. See, the two things go together. As we are connecting with him, we receive from him, we just deal with the situation we are in, and we are going to see more about that. Because, you know, I want to talk about is actually getting our prayer answered. How that happens. Understanding what the word says. Okay. And I believe that this is was kind of an example this morning what took place. It's not us moving, it's he's moving. It's he's calling us. Okay. But when we call us, we had to move. We had to respond. Because that is the critical moment. If you miss the point, if you miss the moment, you may get it again, but who knows when? See, then it was his mercy flows, and we had to take advantage. And we had to not only take advantage at the moment, but, you know, start to cultivate what he's starting to do there, to grow into the things that he wants to do, and he wants to minister to us. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to, you know, start, you know, doing a teaching. Possibly it's a bit different from what you generally hear saying. Okay. And, you know, but I'm going to base myself completely on the scriptures. Sticking with the scriptures, not sticking with the generally what people say. Okay. Because, you know, there are some things, some verses in the Bible that are difficult to understand. And the way we understand them depends on the doctrines we have. And there are different currents in Christianity that have different ideas. And some of them may produce positive things, some other one may produce not that positive things, because they are really not proper understanding. And we have to see the impact of that, and some of them are pretty common, and people start discussing it, and, you know, theologians start to talk one after the other, you know, against each other, but they don't get a solution, because generally they're both wrong. So, let's go to see here. You're going to go in James chapter 5 to see some instruction that he gave about prayers. Okay. Now, James was Jesus' brother. Okay. And he, you know, was the leader of the church in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem. Okay. So he had an important position there, you know, in the group of the disciples. But, you know, when Jesus was alive, he wasn't a believer. So, you know, he became a believer later on. But, you know, he had been exposed to lots of stuff. So he just had some understanding. Anyway, so here he's saying in James chapter 5, verse 13, starting there, okay, talks about the fact that believers have problems, have trials. I mean, James chapter 5, even James, you know, chapter 1 talks about that. Okay, but that, you know, here he's talking about specifically about resolving those problems, helping to, you know, one of the things I said also in chapter 1, you know, if you, you know, going through temptation or trials or whatever, the translation in English or whatever language is the same, but, in, you know, because in Greek, there's the same word for trial and for temptations. Okay, so you have to see the context that he's talking about there in the situation. But what I'm saying to you here is that it doesn't matter what it is. God is in control. And this is the concept, the basic truth that we have to accept and base ourselves in how to approach the situation. You know, today many people say, well, you know, the problem of all these things is from the devil. Yeah, from the devil, but it's really not the devil because the devil cannot make those decisions. It's God that decides what's going to happen. Okay? And you. Because he leaves you free, you have free will to make choices. And according to your choices, things are going to happen. If you make the right choices, then you get blessed. If you make the wrong choices, then you don't get blessed because you create your own problem. Okay? Now, here, starting from verse 13, says, if anyone among you is suffering, okay, there the word suffering is really, you know, the meaning is suffer evils or endure afflictions or have troubles or trials. Okay, so he's talking about believers. Okay, he started try ministering to them. So believers can have these things. And so, okay, so it says, you know, let him pray. So that's what the resolution, that's what the instruction for us to do is to do. You pray. And what you pray is really, you know, the word there implies to ask earnestly, to just go to God and you direct your needs, explain your need, you come boldly before the throne of grace. Basically what the new covenant approach is. You come boldly before the throne of grace because he's there to meet you. He's there to help you. Okay? And he is the one who's going to help you. Okay? Now, the other one says, you know, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing psalms. You know, really sing praises or rejoice in him. So when things go well, you can rejoice. But, you know, if bottom line, you pray all the time. You connect with God all the time. Doesn't matter what's going on. If things go well or things don't go well, the thing to do is to be connected with God. The more connected we are with God, and the better things are going to go because he's going to guide you in how to address the situation you're in. Okay? So, then after this introduction, we are not going to have the time to cover the whole topic today, as usual, but, you know, I think that was important for me to minister today because there are some things that are going to actually, you know, connect with what I want to be saying. God is always working that way. Okay, in James chapter 5, verse 14 says, if anyone among you sick, okay, is anyone among you sick, let him call for the elder of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So he's instructing you know, people that are not well physically, have a physical problem or some disease or sickness, to get help. You know, that doesn't mean that they don't start praying before. The fact that they say, you know, if someone is suffering, you go through as a problem, you just have to pray, ask God. If you ask God, God is going to direct you somewhere. Okay? If you start connecting with him, he's going to do. But sometimes there is need for extra. Okay? You need a little help in the way. And because he says, you know, go to the elder of the church, praying over him. He's talking about actually in the laying on of hands, the way I was doing before when people were coming here. Okay, that there was a way that was done also in the New Testament and even before. Okay, says anointing, pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. So praying in Jesus' name and according to his power. Now there is some implication here that doesn't go in all the detail, doesn't explain the whole story. There is much more than this, what he's now talking about that here. Okay, it's not, you know, often people think that they need help and somebody pray for them and the whole thing is fixed. You say that's the only thing that's going to happen. And that's not the case. There is much more than when, you know, why do you go to the elders of the church? Or because they are elders? Not really. Okay, because they have experienced more than the ones that aren't elders. And because they have experience, they're going to be able to minister to you as they are also praying for you. The idea is that, you know, they are actually doing is the fact they say anointing him is oil in the name of the Lord. Okay, the anointing of oil involves the, you know, working of the Holy Spirit. It's a symbolic thing for the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's nothing magical about it. It's just that you know, that you are opening up to the presence of the Holy Spirit. But the other things that they said, you know, that is in the name of the Lord. The fact that you are in the name of the Lord is not just the formula. Okay, it's more than just the formula. Means that the prayer you're praying is actually in alignment with what God wants. And you can see later on is even more clear about that. You see, cannot. It's not just a question of having a name and the formula is according. Well, that is a Christian, it's a Christian formula. You just repeat it. It's much more than that. The fact that you pray in the name of the Lord, in the name, you know, means the implication is that you are actually praying and saying things according to God's position, believes, got into God's perspective. You cannot pray in Jesus' name for something that God doesn't agree. Because it doesn't make sense. See, what happens has to align up with what you claim to be going by for the direction that he's giving us. Okay? If you, you know, want to rob a bank, you don't pray in Jesus' name to rob a bank. I mean, I'm giving a stupid example, but that's really the, sometimes that's what happens. Sometimes I ask you to pray for stuff that they want, that they absolutely God couldn't care less. And so that is a complete waste of time. See, the fact that you go to the elders, I mean, you know, before you didn't get it. Okay. So the first thing you had to start doing, you pray for direction. And then you go and you try to address the whatever direction or not direction that you got. As you go to the elders and explain the situation and say, no, I'm getting that, is that all right, is that okay? And they're going to start to minister to you. They start to interact with you and maybe giving you some information that what you are thinking here is right or wrong. Is line up with the scripture or not line up with the scripture? The idea is that they are going to put an input on the information that you already have and confirm the information that you already have, or actually redirect you someplace. Doesn't mean that they are going to be have all the solution for you, but they are going to be able to direct you in the right direction. Are you following what I'm saying? See, there is ministry going on, not just prayer, you know, and you just go away that you know just as much as you knew before. Praise God. See, so you know, in that interaction, you okay? I give you an example. And this is an example that not very many use. Okay? It's the book of Job. You know, that's a book generally people don't preach about because they don't understand it. It's one of the most powerful books in the Bible, if you understand it. The problem is that there is lots of ministry going on there that actually is wrong ministry. It's just religious. In fact, the people who were ministering religiously, they got in trouble with God at the end. They got rebuked, and God had to deal with, you know, and God had to ask Job to pray for them because they were off. But they said most of the things that people say when they're ministering people. So that's why he's getting confused. That's why people get, you know, don't figure out the book very well, and they end up being more confused than helped. In reality, there is, you know, I've been teaching, I taught maybe last summer or something like that. Okay, we spend lots of time on it, and that wasn't enough, I think. But so I had to take it up again. But really, you know, you can see that the only time when Job broke through is when he was ministered properly at the end. And he got the understanding that he needed to be able to receive from God. Because the very moment when he got the understanding, the whole things, you know, things start to change completely. So it wasn't just a question of telling him what to do. It was a question of actually bringing to him the truth, the understanding, the revelation that he needed to have. When he finally saw that his position was wrong up to that moment, although he was doing everything right, that's what it says. You know, he was doing everything right, but he had some things that need to be changed in his attitude, in his position, in his understanding. When he did God, he just repented on the spot. And the whole thing was finished. And at the end of the story, he was directed what to do. One of them was the fact that he knew that he had received, but the other part that was there was the fact that he was told to pray for the other people. See, evidently, one of the problems that he had, that from the ministry he had received, he got offended. He had to forgive them. Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, he had to offend, you know, so he was the one that had to pray for them because he had to get rid of, they had to forgive them, number one, so that they could be forgiven. He did, and that then was their problem, was not anymore Job, but Job got completely free as a result of that. First of all, the understanding about the disposition toward God was wrong. And second, you know, understanding that he had to forgive them, then they were talking nonsense, and you know what they were talking about because they didn't understand spiritual things properly. They just were religious. When you are religious, sometimes you just say things that are actually misapplied. Okay? So the idea is there, okay, that what happened with Job should happen also for people that need help. sometimes they got lots of idea or condemnation or things that they, you know, they need to overcome some of the ideas that they have there that keep them in the bondage. And the Holy Spirit is becoming important in there to be able to connect with the things and be able to get the proper direction. And after that, it was 10 times better than it was before. See, God fixed stuff when he moves. Okay? Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying to you is that the same thing that happened with Job has to happen even in this time when, you know, when somebody needs prayer. That's the way the prayer should be done. It should be, you know, they should first pray themselves. They should first access the Lord. He says, you know, what's the issue? Why am I going through these things? What is going on that I need help here? I need help. And, you know, I evidently got in and I have no idea. But I know you. And you know everything. And so just direct me. James chapter 1 says, you know, you need wisdom. If you don't know what to do, you have no wisdom. Okay? So you need wisdom? Pray. Ask God for the wisdom that he gives to you. And do it in faith, not being wavering like a wave on the sea. But, you know, when he talks to you, listen. But you have to believe that he talks to you, because otherwise you're not going to get anything. Okay? He's there wanting to talk to you. And, you know, you don't need to go even to the elders if you're really listening and you have some experience, because you're going to hear. Now, you want to be sure, and you're going to check that, everything you get through the word. But the fact is, even after you check for the word, you know, maybe you want to be really sure, so you want to talk to somebody that has some experience more than you do. And so you go to the elders, and the elders, hopefully, are smart enough not to be like Job's friend. They're human. Okay? So we had to understand that, and you had to understand that, you know, it has to make sense. But what I'm saying to you, okay, in that way, you see, the prayer that has to be prayed according to the scriptures, based on scriptures, based on what God says, not any idea that they got. For example, if there's some wrong ideas, theologically they're going to apply those ideas to the things, so they're not going to work anyway. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So God then talks about the prayer of faith. Okay. Verse 15. And in the prayer of faith will save the sick. I mean, that said, you know, that's going to do it. But it's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is not the prayer according to what you believe. See, that's what people say today. Prayer of faith, you have a belief, and so it's going to happen. That's not, absolutely not that. It's the prayer of faith, is because it lines up with God's thought. You see, the whole thing has to do with lining up with the truth. Otherwise, it's not the prayer of faith. See, the definition of faith is not to believe something. You can believe anything you want and you can be wrong. The prayer of faith is trust, to know that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's faith. That means, you know, you trust God. And you have faith in something that doesn't change. Something that's always the same. Something that is all-powerful. Something that you can trust. Proverbs 3:5. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. Okay? That's the same thing. That is really talking about trusting God. That's what faith is. So that you depend on him, not on your own even doctrines. Because sometimes your doctrine may be now completely right. But he's going to guide you even in your ignorance, because he's smarter than you are. Praise the Lord. See, the prayer of faith is that you trust God in guiding you in the things you need to know. And because you trust him, you open yourself up to receive the truth by the Holy Spirit, that God's job is to tell you the truth, to bring the things to remembrance, or to bring the things out from your consciousness that you need to know, so that you are understanding things properly and you know what to do, give you wisdom. Okay, but if you start wavering, if you start, you're not going to get it, because you're going to get all the different ideas and you don't know anymore which to pick. Okay? You need to have the truth to break through. And sometimes it will be difficult to get the truth. You have to understand how important that is. And, you know, this is not the only thing. You know, there are many things in these three verses, okay, that I mentioned, that actually doesn't describe the whole thing. But there are other verses in the Bible that fill in all the gaps. And so we have to be able to see, okay, how the scripture fit together. And when we start to see the way the scriptures fit together, then the whole picture changes. It becomes much more logical. Okay. You know, the implication there is, at this point, you know, that if there are some things that produce the problem, there are some areas in which somewhere or another there is no understanding. Because if you, you know, have a, we don't have full understanding, let's face it. We are just limited in our understanding. We don't know everything, we are not God. And because we are not God, we are in a world that is influenced by lots of wrong ideas, we are going to have also, no matter how much Christians we are, you know, we are going to have some wrong ideas inside us that we have to address in some way or another. Okay? And the Holy Spirit maybe is trying to show us some of these things so that we can progress. That's the job of the Holy Spirit is. Okay? So, and the implication there is the fact that, you know, the prayer of faith is a prayer that you do trusting God that is going to guide you. Not only that, but is going to help you to do the right thing, so that you are going to be able to get the results that you need. He works supernaturally. Okay? Sometimes, you know, not all sickness or not all problems come up because of sin. There are sometimes things that are really, you know, all related to disobedience. Sometimes they just happen because ignorance, for example. If you don't know that when, you know, if you go out of the, you know, outside here in the cold like that, and you've never been before in a place like this, you know, you go out with just not enough clothes on, you get sick. You know, I remember when I moved to Winnipeg, you know, from Vancouver. I was out all year around, going fishing and doing other, going camping and so on. And I got there and suddenly it was really cold. I wasn't dressed properly. Took me not very long to learn. But the point is, you know, if you expose yourself more than you need to, you're going to have problems. Okay? Could be, you know, maybe you're working ignorant about some things that shouldn't be done and they hurt you. Or maybe simply that, you know, you were working too hard even to do something good, but you got super tired and you got sick from this. Okay, your intention was good, but maybe, you know, many, you know, there are many other factors. You don't know the factors. And the Lord can tell you, you know, say, take a rest. I mean, it could be just as simple as something like that. Okay? So, Well, one of the things that tell in the following verse, verse 16, shows already that there is some direction of more that, says, confess your trespasses to one another. Okay, so there it is, okay, that is pointing out to some of the things that are, if there are trespasses, they need to be addressed. It's not that this part is, a verse is separated from the other. You cannot separate a verse from all the coming, the one coming before, because this is what's happening when the process is going on. Okay, confess your trespasses and pray for one another that you may be healed. It sounds like Job, doesn't it? Okay, so there you are. So confessing your trespasses, this is really, the way maybe the prayer of faith is. You are starting to connect with the direction that God gives you, and so you start praying for the things that God told you to do in the way that is going to resolve your problem. Okay? Taking action. Okay? Says the effective fervent prayer of the righteous man avail much. So the idea is that when you really mean business with God, you're going to get results. That's what it's saying us. But, you see, the thing is, it's not just praying, God, do this, boom, bang, and they think that all things, it's more than that. Okay, sometimes there is a question of, okay, I had to forgive somebody. I had to address these other issues. I had to take this step there. I've been doing the wrong thing in that particular thing that the Lord was telling me. And, when we start seeing those things, you do those things first. And then, maybe the old things disappear. Okay, that's important. You see, so, confessing and forgiving one another is really critical because, this involves you dealing with issues that may have produced the problem. Okay. You may have known or not known, doesn't matter. The point is, if you are exposed to the cold that you shouldn't be exposed, maybe you didn't know, but that's not good enough. You're going to have a problem anyway because you are breaking one of the rules, the natural rules. If you eat too much all the time, okay, you get sick, well, that's why. You maybe have to be more controlled in the fact you be less glutton, okay. The point is, all these things go together. Okay, you want to keep being glutton and then, expect God to produce your weight problem. It doesn't work. Okay, maybe you have, high blood pressure and other things. Well, start, asking God what you have to do about it. And he will direct you in the things that you need to know. And you may want to pray about it. Some things are maybe evident, some other things may not be evident. Some things may be of an emotional nature that affect you, and that's why you do certain things when instead you should do some other things. But as you go before God and you deal with him, he's going to direct you. He's not going to just, make you become slim and keep eating like a pig. It's not going to happen. But some people, I heard people praying, to kill the calories, and the stuff like that. I heard everything in the world, I mean, that's nonsense. Okay, there is a logic even in our prayer. Okay? And the Lord is more logical than we ever can be. He's very structured. He's very, very organized. He knows everything and he knows all the detail. Okay? So, then God gives us another example. Okay? And it helps us to understand the situation that we are in. Okay? Verse 17 of James chapter 5 says, okay, Elijah was a man like with a nature like ours. So that means, Elijah, that's this was a prophet with this, all this anointing, all this power. He says, you know, he was just like you. That's what he's telling us. With the same type of problems that we have. Okay? And he prayed earnestly that he would not rain, and did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. Okay? So the idea here is telling to. And then he prayed again, and then the heaven rain gave rain, and the earth produces fruit. So the idea is this, okay? That is, you know, he wasn't perfect. He was the way we are. But he prayed earnestly. He got the direction that he needed. He got the anointing that he needed. He connected with God. And because he connected with God, he prayed, and the prayer was according to God's will, and the prayer worked. Now, you know, the point is there, okay, is that there comes another factor here, okay? God's will comes into the picture. You see, the idea is that when we pray, a prayer of faith has to be according to God's will. But we sometimes are not really too clear what God's will is. Because often we don't have a clue. And we have to get into God's will. And we get information in the Bible to how to know, to know God's will. See, he didn't leave us orphan, didn't leave us without any direction. We had to put all the pieces together from different parts of the Bible so that we can see the whole picture. It's like putting a puzzle together. And we know some parts. Maybe some parts are really the wrong place. We put them and so we get confused. We need to have the understanding to put things together. Okay? So the idea, okay, that there could be many things hindering us, and we have to find out what the hindering things are from which we can find a solution, or because we are not knowing what to do. Okay? And we have to find it, you know, the way the devil works is to blind people. So the thing that we need is to get sight. Now, when we're talking about sight, it's really to be able to see the things that are there. And it's interesting, and some scripture really shows this in quite in detail. Okay? The sorts can be many things. That's why sometimes it's complicated. It can be just simply unbelief. It can be unforgiveness. Can be sin. Can be disobedience. Can be just disalignment with God's will in your situation. See, God wants you to go in a direction. You want to go in another direction. Okay, and that needs to be dealt with the situation you're in. And God wants to show you and help you to do that. The following verse, you know, sometimes we continue reading the scripture and we think that it's something that completely unrelated to what was coming before. All these pieces are talking about the same thing. James was trying to get across an idea. And when you put the whole scripture, all the verses together, and you start seeing how do they fit together, then you start getting a picture. It's completely different than what comes from one in one verse. Are you following me? Oh, they're too close, yeah. So I'm going to close here, just a second. Okay. Then Cosonius says, you know, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns them back, you know, that's interesting. By this, I could just preach a sermon just on that. You know, somebody wanders from the truth. The implication, if he wanders from the truth, they had the truth before. Otherwise, he cannot wander. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, so that means, you know, that the idea of once saved, always saved is demolished just by this verse. Because you can, you know, the things that they try to interpret that because they don't understand the way time works for God, but that's another story. You know, the reason why they make it mess it up is because the way the God talks in his way and is not limited to time. When we interpret things, we stop our own perspective. It actually is limited by time. We are trapped in time. And so we interpret his reasoning according to our experience, which is completely wrong. Anyway, but the idea, so, you know, the truth is that if you knew God before and you wander from the truth, that means you lost what you got before. And so our job is actually to bring them back to the truth, because the truth has set you free. Praise the Lord. That means before you had it, now you don't have it anymore. Because why? Because you disobeyed. When you lose the truth, it's because you don't disobeyed, and that means, you know, you don't see anymore, probably, because you have another perspective, another way of looking at it, another things that you value more than God's idea, and that is an idol. That is just aside. I should actually. So the idea is to let him who turns a sinner from the error of his way, will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. See, that's really what he's saying. So the fact that, you know, he's talking about really ministry here. Ministry involves the question of as they come for prayer. This is talking about, it's the same chapter, the same thing here. As they come for prayer and they come to the elders' function should be to direct them, to give them some information, to help them to see some of the things that they didn't see themselves. Okay. So he's talking about the same thing there. Okay. Now, how are we going to really know the truth? Maybe next time. Because the point is, okay, that is important. How do we know the will of God? It's according to our theology? Is our theology that should be the basis for really, I mean, we should have a theology. We have to have some understanding. But is that going to be good enough? And that's not what the word says. Okay. So, the idea is that the impact or the result of the elders pray for the sick person, that he shall say, dear, where is it? Okay. Shall pray over him, anointing him in the name of the Lord. Okay. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, they will be forgiven. Now, don't tell me that their sins are going to be forgiven just because somebody prayed over them. No, it's because they were ministered to and they were pointed out the situation and they repented. Because the only way to be forgiven is to be repenting. There is no other way according to the new covenant, because it's a covenant established and fixed. Just somebody pray for you and you keep doing the same thing or believing the same thing, you are not forgiven no matter what you believe, no matter what your theology is. Amen. There is no place in the Bible that says that. All that there is in my Bible is the same as yours. And always says that, you know, to be forgiven is that you repent of your sins. And then the Lord forgives you and accept what Jesus done for you in your place. That's what makes the whole thing, the covenant work. The covenant is a law established. It's like a contract established that works always the same way. Okay. So just pray if it's not dealt with properly. Doesn't do anything unless you get, because of prayer, in understanding, and you open up to the truth. That can happen too, I'm not saying. Okay? Maybe that often is the best way, because so you know you have the understanding and you get the confirmation. But now there is a question of how actually how we know, how we assure of the will of God. How do we know the will of God? Because our theology is right, who is judging it? You? You were wrong before, you can be wrong after. Okay. The Bible says that we can know. We have the assurance. And we have the assurance next week. For now, you have to hold on. Because I already passed for 15 minutes the time. But do you understand what I'm saying? It's very important that we realize the actual relationship that we have with God, who brings us not according to some rules that we have already established, you know, and think that we know everything. We don't know everything. Nobody knows everything. But we are in connection with God who knows everything. And he's the one that directs us, and one that empowers us, and he's the one that guides us. And that's why the New Testament situation is completely different to the Old Testament. We got the Holy Spirit in our case. I mean, I'm talking in our case, both in the positive and in the negative. You know, he's there fixing us, correcting us, guiding us, and showing us what to do. And he's telling us the truth. And it's the truth that set us free, not necessarily our theology. Because that can be not completely perfect. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Okay. Let's pray that the things that I talked about today, we may go through again to try to put them all together. You know, just not one verse. The whole verses together and see how do they fit, what do they mean, how am I going to be able to benefit from it. Okay. How do I have to respond to those scriptures? Praise you, Lord. Father, thank you for your word that help us to receive from you, to understand the truth so that we may be free. We just thank you that you make that possible by sending the Holy Spirit to us, to guide us into all truth, to teach us the things that you did. They are not new things, are the same thing that you taught, that are everywhere in the Word. And Lord, help us to have understanding, have wisdom, to know that the truth is setting us free. And I can trust you as you guide me into all truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.